Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our first reading today comes from the book of Acts, Acts 10, 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John announced how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all of that. He did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him in a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him received forgiveness of sins through his name. And the gospel reading today comes from the gospel according to Mark, Mark 16, 1 through 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salomon, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" They looked up. They saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the word of God. For the people of God, may he be blessed in our healing or hearing.
Let us pray. Risen Christ, fill us with your Spirit and speak peace to us through these words of Scripture. As we hear you, let our love overflow with knowledge and insight. Teach us to live in you, speaking up to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Imagine yourself in the shoes of one of the three women who visited the tomb that Easter morning. You're going to the tomb to attend to the end-of-life rituals of your people, specifically to embalm Jesus' body for a proper burial. This was the first chance you've had to go and see Jesus since he was buried, because yesterday was the Sabbath day. And so as dawn is breaking, you make your way to the tomb wondering, who are you going to get to roll the stone away so you can get in to the tomb and anoint Jesus' body? And then when you get there, after your walk, you find the tomb has already been opened. "Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He isn't here.
Are you kidding me? Don't be alarmed. I don't know about you, but I would be freaking out.
It's moments like this in the resurrection narrative that I'm reminded just how much of a mystery Easter is. On one hand, the message brought by the angel is clear. Don't be afraid. Jesus has been raised. At the same time, the resurrection story is also pretty alarming. To put bluntly, scary. You go expecting to anoint your friend's body with spices and with oil, and when you get to the tomb, it's open and empty, except for this guy telling you not to be afraid that Jesus isn't dead anymore. No wonder these women were afraid. No wonder the angel speaks the first words of comfort. Don't be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He isn't here. And then after the fear, after the words of comfort, come the command. Look, here's the place where they laid him. Go, tell his disciples that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. Except they don't do that, do they? They flee the tomb. They run away, overcome with terror and dread. They don't tell a soul about what they saw. What? What was that? How did the disciples find out then? What about Jesus appearing to the disciples in a locked room or on the road to Emmaus? Mark's gospel doesn't include any of these details. In fact, many scholars believe that Mark ends right there at verse 8. Centuries later, editors wanting to tidy up the ending added those other endings. If you open your Bible, you'll see other endings in there. Those editors, those people, they couldn't handle a cliffhanger. You see, we don't like to leave stories unfinished. There once was a seminary student who was so fascinated with Mark's gospel that he decided he was going to memorize it and recite it orally in a public performance. He prepared himself for several years, carefully studying the text, mapping out the dramatic structure, playing with the multiple characterizations, memorizing his lines. It was a lot of work. The first performance, it was held in a large church, and the student, standing in front as he spoke, gave a very moving performance of Mark's gospel, bringing the gospel to light. And when he got to the last line, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The audience sat there waiting in breathless anticipation, as if they were saying, "Yes, go on." And the student, even with all his preparation, wasn't prepared for this. With the audience gazing at him and unsure how to make a graceful exit, he started nervously shifting from side to side. And finally, after several moments of awkward silence, he said, "Amen." And the crowd burst into applause. Later, the student admitted to feeling the same pressure of incompletion that some of the editors must have had, longing to tidy up that ending. The next time he performed, he resisted trying to resolve that dangling ending. After saying the last line, he just exited the stage in silence. And instead of applause, people left in a buzz, talking about how abrupt and unsettling the ending was.
Mark is not about neat and tidy.
And as you read Mark's gospel, you read a story where, to put it mildly, Jesus' followers, they struggle to get it. I have been known in the past to give Mark the tagline, "Adventures in Missing the Point." In Mark, Jesus' followers have a hard time seeing what God is up to in the world. Mark is not about a delicate and domesticated gospel that invites us to figure out how to work God's kingdom into our schedules. It's about God's kingdom arriving like a storm and causing us to drop everything to attend to it. So Mark really couldn't have ended his gospel any other way than this. He isn't going to say amen on the last page and let you leave church having experienced a story neatly resolved, ready to head back into your old lives. No, Mark is going to leave you dangling and uncertain, asking yourselves, what's next? You already know that life is not neat and tidy. Every age and every generation we face challenges that are simultaneously similar and unique to that generation. You may say that the events surrounding 9/11 were the epitome of evil, but other generations might cite the Crusades or one of the two world wars or the Inquisition or the Hundred Years' Wars. I could go on and on and on. Horror and hope, unbelief and faith, joy and pain, they are separated by thin lines of hope and heart and soul and mind. And so this is why I find Mark's account of the resurrection, even with the cliffhanger ending, to be a story most appropriate for our time. Of course, the account of Jesus' death and resurrection is not simply some tale told once a year. It's the very heart of our faith, the cornerstone of our discipleship journey. We are a resurrection people. We are the God-bearers who spread hope and love infused with divine grace. And story is the method that we communicate this truth. And the true beauty of Mark's account is that the women do pass the story on to us, like a baton in the relay. It is our lap, our time to be seized by the Spirit. You may find yourself filled with amazement and terror, doubt or disbelief, and quite unable to share this good news. And thankfully, we know from other accounts of the story that they did eventually recover and went on to witness to a world in need. So can you. The story of God's love for all creation and the divine imperative to redeem it is not over yet. You are a part of this great narrative. This is a time for a real story. For uncertain times. It's a story for all of time. Friends, this story is not the end of our faith. It's only the beginning. Mark begins his gospel with these words. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son. And the story doesn't end in verse 8. It remains an unfinished story meant for you and I to take it up and keep telling this story. How God is still working in and through this world. And how God is working to bring about God's kingdom on earth here and now. The Easter story isn't just about Jesus coming back to life. The Easter story is the announcement that God's reign is very near. That time is coming where God's justice will reign. The kingdom of God will be here on earth. And so Mark leaves this story unfinished, because it's up to you to finish it. It's up to you to take it up and help bring God's kingdom to reality for yourselves and for the world. It's a bit scary, isn't it?
You each have the opportunity, this amazing, disturbing as it is, opportunity to finish the story in your own life. Jesus Christ died and rose so that he might meet you here. He's come to offer you a new life, resurrection life. What will you do with the news? Will you hear the words of the angel at the empty tomb?